This morning we're going to be preaching on the gospel, the gospel. You know, Brother Jimmy Barber wrote a book on the heart of the gospel, which is justification. But I want you to think about this morning about the gospel. The Old Testament and New Testament, what's the heart of those books, the gospel? It's all about Jesus Christ, Him coming into the world, His incarnation, His life living on the earth, His preaching, His teaching, His final crucifixion and death, His burial and His resurrection and ascending into glory and His soon return. That's the heart of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope this morning that you're grateful. If you have ears to hear, if you've heard the gospel in the inner man, that you've heard Jesus. He spoke to your soul. He spoke to your heart, the good news of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 14, verse 7, it says, "And there they preached the gospel." They preached the gospel. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word, instant in season and out of season." We have one responsibility, preach the gospel. So if we preach justification, we're preaching the gospel. We preach sanctification, we're preaching the gospel. We preach grace, free grace, we're preaching the gospel. We preach on heaven, we're preaching the gospel. Because without the gospel, there'd be no doctrine of justification, no doctrine of the church, no doctrine of heaven. No, it would be nothing. Thank God, the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What the gospel is. What is said of it, what is said of the, in the scriptures concerning the gospel, what is said of them that receive it, and of them that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and don't follow Christ. First of the gospel is a sacred report of those facts concerning Jesus Christ, which are essential to our conversion experience with God. Paul said, "I've begotten you through the gospel." The Holy Spirit uses the gospel to bring us to knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those have been born of the Spirit, been born of God. That Jesus Christ was foreordained to be the surety of His people and to be our surety and Savior by His sacrifice and death for our sins. This is good news. Christ said He came to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank God that He died for sinners, or I would have no hope. He died for sinners. Next, we see by His incarnation as the God-man in human flesh, taking on the seed of Abraham, Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Made of a woman. He was man just like we are, flesh and blood and a soul. And He walked this earth. He was incarnated, but He was God and man, God-man. It is said, when He died on the cross, it's finished. John 19:30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost." In 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." We are all guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus, the just one, who was without blemish and without spot, died for the unjust. He died for sinners, standing in need of His salvation. "That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." If you read the Old Testament, it prefigured Jesus that was to come. The New Testament sets Christ before us. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." This morning, we are serving the living God. I want to say this, why it's on my mind. Why is it so important that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the house of God? Because who's here with us? Who promised to be with us in the church? Jesus Christ. He walks in the midst of His churches. So when we forsake the house of God, we are not enjoying a special blessings of His presence with the congregation of the Lord. You can't get that anywhere else. You can be at home. You can watch TV. You can watch these sermons that on YouTube and Facebook. But it's not the same as being in the house of God where the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's with us this morning. That's why we sing songs and praises to who? To the one that's here with us, Jesus Christ, in His Spirit and in truth. And God says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. I want you to realize, and all of us to realize, there's a special blessing in meeting with God's people. Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I, were in the midst of you. He's here with us. Praise God. You don't see Him with your physical eye, but you can see Him with your spiritual eye. By faith. It says in verse 4 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. They could never take away sins permanently. They were just a temporal, and they pictured and typed the lamb that was to come, Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, by this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. When he finished salvation for us, when he died judicially for us and bore our sins in his body on the tree, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. When he cried out, it's finished, it was finished. Before the foundation of the world, Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world in the purpose and mind of God. As we preach the gospel, we preach about the resurrection from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, it says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If Christ wasn't resurrected, if he didn't come out of the grave, we're still dead in trespasses and sins. Beloved, but he came out of the grave. He ascended up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. See, the world likes to say, oh, this is a fairy tale. There's nothing to it. Beloved, you can take it to the bank. God's word is true. Jesus came into this world. He died for sinners. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again, and he ascended into heaven. That's as true as this, that you're walking upon this earth, that you're here this morning. That is the word of God. Written by the hand of God. The gospel came from God to you and I to encourage us to the day we take our last breath to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah for that truth. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Beloved, we thank God for his death, that he died for his people. They shall call his name Jesus, it says in Matthew, for he shall save his people. He shall save his people. The next thing we think about it is on the gospel is the ascension of Christ into heaven. It says in Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Who gives gifts to the church? Who gives pastors and teachers to the church? The Lord Jesus does. So that's why it's so important that you pray for your pastors, pray for those over you in the Lord, pray for your elders, because God set them into the church to train you, to teach you, to build you up in the faith, that you might grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He gives those gifts. And it says, now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He ascended up far above the heavens that we can see, the starry heaven. He's way above there. He's in the heaven of heavens. There Paul was caught up into paradise, and he saw things he couldn't even talk about. Paul, don't you talk about those things. His lips were sealed. I wonder what he heard that was so wonderful. I know one thing. Paul couldn't wait to get out of here. He didn't care if they cut his head off. Why? He heard some things. He wanted to be there. He said, depart and be with Christ, Brother Roger, is far better than being on the earth. So, beloved, don't feel sorry for our loved ones. Sometimes I do. I know you do, too. You miss your mother, your fathers, your loved ones that have gone before us. But they in our Father's house, they're there in the presence of God, rejoicing with no pain, no sorrow, no heartache, no tears, no sin, no wickedness, yes, and no bills. You know, what a blessing. But they don't have to deal with their wickedness and lustful thoughts and inordinate affections. All those things are gone. Thank one day we'll be as pure as Christ is. That'll be heaven itself. That'll be heaven. That I'll be so pure, I'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity. We'll never be like he is in God. He's not talking about that. But we'll have his righteousness, and we'll have when we're glorified, we'll have a glorified nature that sin has been removed. I'm looking forward to that day. I won't have to deal with Leroy anymore. That'll be a blessing. I don't know if you have trouble with yourself, but I do. I do. You know, Paul says, I die daily. And as a Christian, you learn in your life that you have to die daily to the flesh, to the things of the world, and to yourself. Sometimes the greatest hindrance to our Christian life is ourselves. And we forget that sometimes. Remember, anything that's put before God is an idol. Anything. It can be good things. It can be things that are okay in themselves. But if we put them before the Lord, they become an idol. And today people say, well, what's an idol? We don't worship false gods today. We don't bow down to these different gods like the heathen did. Yes, but anything that we put before God becomes an idol. And we all have to guard against that. I do, and you do. We're not exempt from that. None of us. The next thing we see is the intercession of our high priest is part of the gospel. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son. Think about that. God didn't spare his son. He goes on to say, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? I'll add that to it, as Peter said over there. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who justifies us? God does. He justifies us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. No one can condemn us before God because we've been justified by God. We've been called not guilty. We stand before God complete. So no one can condemn us. Judicially, we're cleansed from all sin. If you listen to the message on 1 John, you can understand. Judicially, we've been cleansed from all sin. But in our daily lives, we can sin, and we do walk in darkness at times. When you sin, you walk in darkness. And God says when you do walk in darkness, you're to confess those sins. And when you confess your sins, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for that. So God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. He's resurrected, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercessions for us. Now here is something that I'll be bringing out in the next sermon on 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. The priest he sits, an advocate stands. When do you need an advocate? Advocate with the Father. When you sin. When we sin, Jesus, hallelujah, is there before God the Father pleading for us. Standing before God is our lawyer pleading our case, pleading his blood that was shed for our sins. To restore our fellowship. And as we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's the part of Christ's work which sometimes we don't realize. As an advocate, we need him more. We as an advocate more than anything else right now. Because our Savior, he's already saved us. But he's continually delivering us as our advocate with the Father, as your lawyer. You have a lawyer in heaven. Satan is your accuser. He accuses the brethren day and night. Oh, beloved, this gospel is glorious news to the child of God. I tell you, you cannot learn too much about the gospel. Study it, meditate upon it, read it. These are truths which should fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The more you understand these things, the more a blessing it'll be to your soul. To rejoice, Peter said, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What hinders us from having that joy and glory he's talking about? Because we're too worldly minded? We're too busy? We don't study the Word of God? We don't pray? We don't meditate on the things of God? We forsake the house of God? We forsake preaching? We don't talk about spiritual things when we get together? Beloved, these are the things of God which we'll be learning all throughout eternity. This is our life we're talking about. Remember, he said, go into the people and talk about the word of life. The words of life. God's word has life in it. What's the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel to convert his people to knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. The good news, can you remember? Is there a time in your life when you came to faith and belief in Jesus Christ? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not fail in his ministry. The Father chose us before the foundation of the world in Christ. The Son gave his life for our sins and redemption. And the Holy Spirit will regenerate us, give us, we'll be born again, we'll have a new spirit, and he'll bring us to faith and repentance in Christ, and he will not fail, Brother Roger. Some people worry, oh, my children, will they go to heaven? Now, I believe we should pray for our children, but their conversion and their regeneration is not in our hands, it's not in the preacher's hands, it's in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring his people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Do we believe the Holy Spirit's going to fail? I do not. I believe the work of the Spirit will be just as real and be accomplished, just like the choosing of the Father, the redemption of the Son. The Holy Spirit will apply salvation to God's people without exception. He said, what did Christ say? None of them shall be lost. None. I will raise them up at the last day. How could he be so sure of that? Because he knew the Holy Spirit would bring everyone whom he died for to regeneration, to conversion, and to be kept by the power of God and reserved to the last day. You say, well, what happens if we don't follow the Lord? Now, there's two ways you can test your salvation. One, if you're walking in sin, you're not in fellowship with God, no matter who it is, preacher or anyone in the church, members of a church. We cannot walk in sin and have fellowship with God. God says, if we say we are, we're liar and the truth's not in us. So we have to remember that. We need to be restored back to fellowship. So, and if we don't take heed to God's word, what happens? Now remember, the principle of God's word is, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. God may forgive you, but you may bear in your body the sins that you've done. An example I heard one time, the boy asked his father, why is sin so bad when God forgives us? He says, go take a nail and nail it into that tree there. So he went out and took nails and he put about 100 nails, then he pulled them out. He said, okay, when God forgives us our sins, they're all cleansed. But he says, he don't remove the scars. Remember that. What you sow, you will reap. No matter who it is. There's no exception with God. God is no respecter of persons. And that brings us down to this thought. Whom God loves, he chastens. I'm glad in my own life. Now, I've been through some things. God has really chastised me. So I know what it means to be chastised of the Lord. The Lord's chastening can be very hard. But it's for our own good. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Because the end of it is peace and joy in the Lord. So that's another way you can know whether you're a child of God or not. When you do fall into sin and you get out of the will of God, are you being chastened of the Lord? Can you live in sin and enjoy it? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. But we have a high priest that's praying for us. Remember, Jesus is praying for you and I all the time, every day of our lives. The gospel report of these things are glad tidings to the believer. We believe these things. They're glad tidings. What is said of the gospel in the sacred scriptures? Just looking at a few things. It is called the gospel of God. Romans 15, 16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The gospel of God. This gospel is not of men, but it's of God. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. God's ministers have been separated unto the gospel of God to proclaim it, to preach it, to live it, and to practice it. We're to be a living example of the gospel in our lives. And you as Christians, Paul says, we're living epistles, read and known of all men. Beloved, you that are here, you're to be living epistles. You're to live the gospel, you're to die in the gospel, and you're to be a witness of the gospel by your life, all of us. That's our response. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. That's the purpose of living a godly life, is to glorify God. We must believe it is the gospel of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word will be effective in your life when the Holy Spirit makes it applied to your soul. And if you never believed, your prayer this morning should be, Lord, speak to my heart. Speak to my soul. Give me that peace that passeth all understanding in the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of the grace of God. It's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. He says in Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. But none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, this is Paul speaking, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's whole life was a testimony of the grace of God to him. He was a blasphemer, a hater of God, hater of God's people, chained on a road of Damascus, chained in a moment by the power of God. And then he said, I give my life to proclaim the grace of God that I received, that he saved a wretch like me. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief. Because he persecuted the church of God. It is the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. From Genesis 3:15, Genesis 1:1, all the way to end of Revelation 22, it's all about the gospel of Christ. It's all about him. I saw the gospel is the Savior of life unto life by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The writings of the Old Testament was under the direction of God the Holy Spirit, who's omniscient, who's omnipotent, who controls things. He directed each one of the prophets when they wrote the Old Testament books, that our faith might be in God and not in man. Beloved, we believe in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures contained in the Word of God, and we do believe in the King James Version of the Bible. And we use it, and we thank God for that, the ministry of the King James Version that God has given us by inspiration. The King James was translated out of the original Greek and Hebrew, and the words were brought over into the English language, and the words that they replaced were inspired, so our words are inspired of God. And we're grateful that God has given us His Word to comfort us. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It's hard to believe that there's people that says the gospel is foolishness. There's people in this world that say there is no God, that the Bible is written by a bunch of men. There's nothing to it. It's all a fable. It's just nothing. It means nothing. And they live their lives accordingly in sin and wickedness. And one day they'll stand before Jesus as the judge of the world, and they will be judged out of the books written of all that they've done. They made fun of the Lord. They rejected His salvation in the sense that they despised it. And it proves the justness of their condemnation. But beloved, they cannot receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. That's why I said this morning, be grateful that you're not deaf to the gospel. There's people who cannot hear my voice because they're deaf. They have no hearing. But there's more people today that are deaf to God. They cannot hear the voice of God. We need to get down on our knees and say, "Thank you, Lord, that I can hear your voice speaking to my soul. That I'm not dead in trespasses and sins." Without hope, and without God in this world. Are you thankful for that? We should be very thankful. Paul says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God gives us a new birth. The Holy Spirit puts in faith in our hearts. When we hear the gospel, that faith comes forth, lays hold of the gospel, and believes it. And we receive the peace that passeth all understanding. That's brought out in 1 Corinthians 4:15. Paul says, "For though you have 10,000 instructions in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." In other words, as Paul preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit laid hold of God's people, and He brought them forth to believe, have faith in Christ. The gospel which Paul preached was a means of conversion to the people of God. I believe everyone here who's been converted, you've been converted through the gospel of someone who preached the gospel to you. The good news. Be grateful. Thankful. It's not bad news, it's good news. That you've been able to hear and to rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. To the one, we are the Savior of death, unto death. And to the other, the Savior of life unto life, who is sufficient for these things. Some hear the word of God, it's an evidence that they're dead in trespasses and sins. They reject the gospel. They hate the gospel. It has no effect on their life. To others, it's a manifestation of their faith that they have life within because of their belief in Christ. They're following Christ and doing what God wants them to do. It's a manifestation that there's life in their souls. The gospel does two things. It manifests that you're dead. It manifests that you have life. And that's true all through the centuries. He said in 2 Corinthians 3:3, "For as much as ye are manifested, declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." Beloved, God writes upon our heart His commandments. He writes His evidence in our souls. That's why we're called the living epistles, read and known of all men. People can see whether you're the real thing or not. Whether you're dead or whether you're living in Christ, by how you live for Christ, your evidence, the manifestation, testifying of the grace of God. And as we preach the gospel, Brother Dave, Brother Roger, and I, we can take encouragement from this verse. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "I have planted." Dave may plant as he preaches. Apollos watered. Roger may water what Dave preached. I may water that, but notice what it said. "But God gave the increase." Beloved, it's God that uses the word that we preach, and He'll give the increase, not man. None of us can save anyone. None of us can convert anyone. None of us can quicken anyone. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that gives the increase. Hallelujah. So everything that we do is not in vain in the Lord. It is the gospel of truth. The gospel of truth. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's many today saying, oh, come to Christ, come to Christ. You can't go to Christ except by the drawing of the Holy Spirit and by Jesus Christ. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. Galatians says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, for that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? It's truth. We're to walk in truth. John says he rejoiced. He said, I rejoice that my children are walking in truth. I think the greatest joy that Dave, Roger, and myself can have is that the members here are walking in truth. Walking in truth. That's the joy of our souls, is that each one of you walk in truth. What a blessing that is, beloved, to walk in truth. In whom you also trust in Ephesians 1:13, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And him also after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I think that's the witness of the Spirit that you're a child of God. It's our assurance of salvation. God gives us assurance in the inner man that we're his children. Because he said, and when the Holy Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit takes the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of Christ, and reveals them to us. You can read it, but you still need the illuminating, you need the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in your inner man. Because that's what warms your heart, warms your soul, stirs your affections, gives you the love. It says the love of God constrains us. Constrains us from what? It constrains us from wandering away from the Lord, from getting too far from the Lord. It constrains us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Next thing we see is the same gospel enjoyed by the Old Testament saints. Adam heard the first promise, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first gospel promise given to us in the word of God. Enoch prophesied of it. Jude 1:14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And beloved, we're going to rejoice in that day one day. Abraham rejoiced. John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw Christ by faith. When he offered the sacrifices, he saw Christ by faith. It is an everlasting gospel. Revelation 14:6 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. This didn't start yesterday. It didn't start in time. It started in eternity. God's purpose started before the world began. Some people say, well, God failed in the Garden of Eden. He had to get his blueprint out and make another blueprint. No. Everything happens just like God planned and purposed. It falls into place. Christ was slain. It's from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God had a purpose ever before Christ came to offer as a sacrifice. Hallelujah for that. And it says to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And what is said of them in Scripture that receive the gospel? I'll hurry on here. 2 Corinthians 2:16. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? As we said before, the gospel, as you receive it, it'll be life unto you. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When you receive Christ into your soul, you're receiving all these blessings. God has given us all the blessings in Christ. Christ sits in heavenly places. He has so many treasures for us. Paul said, I speak the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a blessing it is. And he goes on to say, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Thank God for those things. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, when Christ came into your soul, made himself real to you, you can never be separated from that. Now, you can be hindered in your fellowship. And when you are, you're chastened of the Lord, that you won't be condemned with the world. The gospel is hid from some people. 2 Corinthians 4:3 said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. John 3:19 says, and this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why don't people come to Christ? Because they love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. One of the characteristics of walking in darkness habitually is that they're haters of God, they despise God, and they walk in sinful practices every day of their lives with no regret, no remorse. So they reject the love of God, they reject the message of the gospel. People that reject that are reprobates. In all probability. And people who die in that state are without hope and without God in the world. There's no hope for an atheist. There's no hope for an agnostic who die in that state. Their damnation shall be just. And I say that with humility, and I say that in godly fear, because without the grace of God, that could be any of us. But remember, believers cannot escape divine chastisement, nor the unbeliever escape divine vengeance, divine justice. God will chasten you and I, and he will condemn the ungodly, those without Jesus Christ. A couple more verses and we'll be finished. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Do you believe that's going to happen? I do. I believe there's coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive shall be called up together to be with the Lord. And the mighty angels will be with the Lord. And it says, in flaming fire, listen to this, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the gospel important? Yes, it is. Because those who don't know God and reject God, their future is divine judgment. They will be cast into the lake of fire and will suffer forever, forever, and forever because of their hatred for God, their rejecting of the gospel, their rejecting of Jesus Christ, making fun of these things. One day they will have to give an account to God. The books will be opened. To us who have believed and following the Lamb, he'll say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, to be a believer is a blessing. To be a believer in Jesus Christ is good news. Because we've been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from condemnation. We've been delivered from hell. We've been delivered from the wrath of God. We are in Christ. We are free from all wrath. God has delivered us from those things. Believers, unbelievers will face the wrath of God. Believers will face judgment, but our sins have been judged in Jesus Christ. thank God for that. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. First of all, they don't know God. And that obey not the gospel. They don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person who's living and obeys not the gospel, every day of their lives rejecting Christ, there is no evidence that that person is the child of God. Whether it be me or you. The only way you can know you're a child of God, are you walking in obedience to the Lord. That's true of all of us. No exception. See, there's a blessing in walking in the gospel. It gives us assurance of our salvation. It gives us that hope we need, a hope. But if we're walking in sin, walking in darkness, following the world, following the devil, living in the lust of the flesh, we have no evidence that we're a child of God at that time. But if you're a child of God, God's faithful. He'll chasten you and I. And He'll bring us back home. I believe God brings His people back home. He brings them to repentance. It may take a year. It may take 6 months. I don't know how long it takes. God would deal with His people through chastisement and bring His people back to repentance. It's true in my life. I'll say that. God has brought me back through chastising in times of my life and brought me back through repentance and confession. And I'm grateful for that. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Beloved, that's the fate of those who reject the gospel. That's the fate of those who hate God. Is this a serious message? Yes, it is. Is it serious to reject the gospel? Yes, it is. Is there consequences of rejecting Christ? Yes, it is. It's a manifestation that people love darkness rather than light and because their deeds are evil. Destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Yes, there's coming a day that you can discern between those who serve God and those that serve Him not. Is there a judgment day coming? Yes. You don't hear much about heaven and hell anymore. You don't hear much about the pains of hell, the fiery in hell, the judgment of hell. Judgment, suffering forever and forever and forever. It's real, beloved. This is not a fairy tale, it's reality. If you believe in a heaven, you have to believe in a hell. If you believe that we've been justified, you have to believe those who are condemned. They're condemned. Those outside of Christ are condemned already because they believe not Jesus Christ's gospel. So if you believe it this morning, God has opened up your ears to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, Brother Dave. How we should be thankful for that. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank You for the good news this morning of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and His burial, death, resurrection, and ascending into glory and His soon coming again to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Thank You for that hope of His glorious appearing and the trumpet shall sound and time shall be no more. We give You the praise and the honor of glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does someone have a song to offer to the Lord?